And we move on to investor insights. And as we head into September, there's a lot of changes that are happening. There's a lot to think about. We have the implementation of the two-pot system on the 1st of September. We have the changes coming through for the CMA countries that we spoke about in our first episode, as well as the fact that we have the Monetary Policy Committee meeting that we just spoke about in our Market Matters. And with all of the information and all the expectations coming out on the 1st of September, I thought we'd take a look at just what the two-pot implementation looks like. And I know Simon and I share this view that you should leave it alone.
Yeah, can we go home now? Just leave it alone. So, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but someone in their 20s right now who's got 300K in a Reg 28 and therefore can draw out 30 and takes out that 30, they're going to have like a truckload less money at retirement. Mm. Now, I appreciate debt, holidays, hamburgers, all of those sort of things. I think it's Nedbank and Investec have both estimated around 40 billion ZAR is going to get pulled out.
I think it was closer to 80 from some 80, of the estimates. Eh?
Yeah, it is a lot of money. Mm. Of course, it's going to be spent. We can see our stock market salivating at the thought of it coming. And when I say spent, not on stocks, some of it, but on Steerberg.
On the companies that are on the stock exchange.
Correct, Amanda. But I mean, you know what? So I like the idea, right? Because in the olden day, you'd quit your job to access the money and now you'd have nothing left. Mm-hmm. Now you quit your job, well, you can access the savings pot. Mm-hmm. There's some money that the only way you access it is death or retirement. End of story. Mm-hmm. Which means that if we roll forward 40, 50 years, South African savers and retirees will be in a better position because of that two pot. The thing is, it's designed for proper emergencies, not my credit card needs saving. Because what do? You take money out of your two pot, you save your credit card, and now you've got a shiny credit card that you go swip, 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 and man, day and a half at Rosebank, and it's back to where it was before. You know, and you know, paying off debt, I hear you. I mean, if you're being crunched under with debt, okay, there's perhaps an argument there for to relieve that. It's what I say to folks. You know, if you, and people hate this, but it's true. If you're struggling right now on surviving on whatever you earn, for someone earning 20K and say, it's not enough, I can't survive, I need 30, that is not going to solve the problem. It's your relationship with money that is the problem. And if you've got a debt problem now and you take 30K to solve it, sure, but then don't you have a debt problem next time or in 6 months or...
But this is the thing, right? I think for me, what I disagree with is the conversation and the way it's been framed is you'll have access to this, you'll be able to use it, whatever. We haven't... We've just glossed over the implications of accessing the money, right? And those implications are quite serious. We say 30,000, but it's not 30,000. Well, it's capped at, it's 10% of what you've got, but capped at 30,000 come the first. That 30,000, when you withdraw, is going to be taxed at your marginal tax rate. So if you're an individual who earns in the highest tax bracket, that 30,000 of yours is going to be taxed at 45%. After it's been taxed at 45%, the fund manager still has the right to charge you a fee on that particular withdrawal. It is a withdrawal. They're charging you an administrative fee. So realistically, you might only end up getting 15,000 rand of this.
And that's if you don't owe money to SARS, because if you do...
SARS is a preferred creditor on everything. So if there is a debt to SARS, it would go to settle SARS first. So assume you get out the 15, even assume you get out the 30,000, best case scenario, which is impossible because of the tax rate, right? So assume that, call it 18 to 20 or 15 to 20 is a good sort of wide enough range of what you get. The amount of debt that you are going to be paying off, the likelihood that you only have a 15,000 rand credit card balance is extremely slim. But when you look at, again, implications, for you to recover that amount of money into your pension fund by the time you retire, even if you're contributing 1,000 rand into that savings pot every single month, you're going to have to contribute for the next 30 months without withdrawing again just to get back to zero.
Just get back to zero.
Assuming you're contributing 3,000 rand a month towards your retirement, of which 2,000 goes into the other pot and 1,000 goes into the savings pot. So to rebuild this, first of all, is not going to be an easy exercise, especially if you don't have time. Now, if You're taking the money to settle off the last little bit of a home loan that you've been paying off for 20 years. Again, I ask, why not just wait an extra month, pay off the installment as you were going to anyway, or as you originally had planned? I think it comes back to what you're saying, Si, around the relationship with money and the narrative that has been put forward around the fact that this is a good thing for people retiring. I think that's what people need to be looking at and people need to be thinking about very carefully is it really a good thing for us that are retiring? It's nice. It's all good and well to have more money in circulation, have more accessibility towards funds and all of that. But the reality is that 30,000, if left alone for another 5 or 6 or 7 years, or even left alone for the 30 months that you were taking it out from, will that be beneficial or harmful towards your overall retirement? And the clear answer is it's going to be harmful.
So some quick numbers, assuming 1% fee, assuming 30,000, assuming 6% real return, in other words, after inflation over 40 years. So you're a kid here, 250 grand in today's money at retirement that you're throwing away.
250,000. That is a quarter of a million rand.
Now, that's the top of my head. Someone out there with a calculator just proved me wrong, but round numbers. I'm running the math in my head. 250K that you just threw away. Thanks. Don't want it.
Now, we've spoken about this understanding that people are maybe not necessarily living for the now, but dealing with immediate challenges.
It's been a tough 4 years.
It has been a horrendous 4 years. It doesn't matter where you are, unless you're a CEO earning millions. And I say this because I saw a very interesting stat from the Daily Investor. They published the earnings of the private higher educational institute CEOs. And I'll pull up the article. I saw it. I was reading through it and I was astounded to see just what the daily earnings are like, because we're not talking monthly earnings. We're not talking, oh, there we go. There it is. There's the packages. So the annual remuneration for the CEO of Advitech is 22.3 million. For the CEO of Stadio is 19.71 million. For the CEO of Curo is 8.37 million.
Yo, what did Cobus do?
Quibus
only got 8.
Quibus Lopes only got 8 million in annual remuneration, which works out to 23,931 rand per day.
That's more than, that's about 5x the median salary per month for a South African.
If you look at Chris Forster's salary, Stadio, it works out to 54,000 rand per day. So he can afford to withdraw from that retirement because he will put the money back almost immediately. But that's not the conversation that we're having. The conversation we're having is around whether or not it's smart to access this 30,000 come the 1st of September. And there is no conceivable thing that we've thought of at this stage that makes sense. If you happen to think of one, please leave one in the comments.
No, there's one. Dread disease.
Fair enough.
Otherwise,
but that's unavoidable. That's,
yeah, yeah. No, no. You've got a dread disease. Your Medicare doesn't quite cut it. Fair enough. Otherwise, no.
There we go. Let's look at our wall. Let's update the wall while we are here, because there are a lot of things that have been moving around and a lot of things that have been... I was looking at the charts. Last time you and I updated the wall, we spoke about how everything is just in the green. Everything is up. Everything is higher than what it was and all of those sorts of things. And I'm just looking at some of the big moves this week, right? I'm looking at APSA. This week has had a rocker of a week, because not only did they finish positive last week, they gapped up this week to above 160 Rand a share. We're closer to 170 Rand a share. We're up about 3.5%. And they recently, this week, Ari Rotenbach decided
lost
that he would
CEO.
Take... Oh, that brings the total, if I'm not mistaken, to 6 CEOs in 5 years in search of the 7th CEO, assuming the interim number 6 doesn't stay on.
And the interim number 6 can't do anything in the meantime, right? Because like maybe he's going to be there, maybe he's not. So he's going to be sitting tight. And Joburg has had like more mayors, but other than that.
Joburg has had more mayors than APSA has had CEOs. But
neither of those are a good thing.
No, this is not something to be proud of. No, this is not something to strive towards. It's definitely not what you want to do. But what does that mean for the... I mean, they gave us results at the same time. Let's not gloss over the fact that they gave us results as a company. But for the market to stay positive, when you see a CEO set to resign from a company, it always brings about the question around succession and what you're going to do and all of that. And that always creates volatility where it comes to local stocks. It always has in the past. This time around, it was a good thing.
And it creates volatility. And particularly when, let's be clear, the ABSA board is really bad at appointing CEOs.
They've had a couple of tries. Oh, sorry. It's worth noting.
You're appointing CEOs. You're not kicking conversions.
It's worth noting that these appointments that we speak of, the six CEOs in 5 years, is just since 2019 when Maria Ramos left.
Yes.
So this is not in the entire history or the entire tenure. Earlier,
didn't she?
Yeah. So she left sort of towards end of 2018, and this kind of started from 2019. Yeah. But this is not in the last 10 years. This is just in the last five or six years.
The thing is that patently ABSA can bundle. When you look at the big banks, everyone would be like, yeah, ABSA's the lagger in terms of share price performance, but also just in terms of results performance. Okay, it's like it's the little kid in the corner. But it's also not expensive. A PE of 7 and change. A dividend yield of 8 and change, a price to book of under 1. So I think the market looks at it and says, yeah, look, this is not, you know, the Standard Bank of the First Rand, which will even a Capitec, which is typically what people are, the banks that people are liking in South Africa. But at that price, and patently, they don't need a CEO. And maybe the board gets it right this time and they get a CEO and they start actually, you know, moving to 1.5 book instead of 0.9 book. And then suddenly this is a double bagger in 3-5 years. And I'm not, yeah, and I can't see our other banks doubling in the next 5 years. But if ABSA actually got a new CEO who can keep the job and implement strategy and it's a good strategy and it wins the market share and makes them profit, a lot of buts in that statement. If they can, well, this is our cheap bank. And you know what? Some people prefer cheap.
Maybe they need to be single for a while.
Yo, okay.
We'll see. We'll keep an eye on them. We'll certainly keep an eye on them. Are we adding them to the wall at 168 Rand a share? Just under 170? I mean, share price has been on the up, bounced quite nicely. It's been looking a lot more positive. We did get to just over 180 Rand towards the end of May. All-time highs, probably about 2022 highs, are around just north of 200 Rand a share. So there is still quite a bit of room in it, some legs. But at 200 or 220 a share, it's kind of a triple top if you're looking at a chart. I don't know if we'll break through that. Are we liking it at 170?
Sure. I mean, it's not my favorite bank, but it's a cheap bank. And at 170, you know, 169 as we record, it's cheap, man.
It's cheap, and it's cheaper than some of the other banks. We will keep an eye on that, and we'll see what it means from a dividend and from a holding perspective. Let's take a look at Sibanye-Stillwater, because they had their lithium plant finally go. Well, they'd been starting with the plant, and they finally got the last bit of capital, lost 10 billion rand into that. One of the most, if not the most, diversified mining companies in South Africa. And that was a very bold decision taken by Neil Froneman and his team. And I've always respected him for that. It takes a very special kind of CEO to say, the business that we have when we started the business was just three gold mines. We're now going to go from gold into everything.
And they weren't the best gold mines either.
They weren't. And now we're no longer a gold miner. We're literally the definition of a diversified miner. We've got gold interests. We've got nickel interests. We've got lithium interests that are now coming online in Europe. And I remember speaking to their investor relations team this week as well on radio. And I threw out the question. I said, okay, if you're a diversified miner, are you going into copper? And they said, well, why not?
Why not?
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I mean, it's a horror chart. they got their money for the lithium project. I mean, they're not yet producing lithium. That's still going to take some time. They did that weird thing with selling gold forward. And I can't decide if I like it or not. So what did they? They raised a whole lot of capital, so they get paid for their gold now and they deliver it in time. Mm. And I, you know, in a bull market of gold, I mean, I remember, was it Anglo Gold Ashanti 15 years ago who had that crazy hedge and they were selling gold all the way down there and the spot market was up here. But I mean, in the sense, they're looking for short-term solutions in terms of debt and maybe why not. I like Sibanye-Stillwater. I hold it a little bit. I keep on picking it up. It's sort of at 17 and then it goes and then it just comes back to 17. And I'm like, we've been here before. At this point, the world looks at them as a PGM miner.
Mm.
And the world doesn't want PGM miners.
Mm. You know what? I I like Sibanye. I'm holding Sibanye. I think everybody should get into Sibanye. So it's at 19 Rand at the moment. 17 Rand is a good support level. It's held at 17 for the longest time over the last 4 years. And even if the world sees them as a PGM miner, right, and we're transitioning away from PGMs because of EVs and all of that stuff, what goes into EVs? Lithium, nickel, copper, cobalt.
No,
maybe very little cobalt, but the other three base precious metals are, I'm now calling them future metals. Sibanye is exposed to two out of those three. On the lithium side, they told me about that project, the Keliber project that they're doing in Europe now, that they've got the financing for. That's going to be the biggest, and it's the first project of its kind in Europe. Now, Europe is set to lead the market on EVs because they want to do this transition and they've got the infrastructure to do it and all of that. And if that is the case, then these guys aren't going to be a PGM miner for much longer.
Well, agreed. Except what's the first law of big projects? Over budget. Second law, over time. But aside from that, I agree with you. I mean, you know, if we roll this forward, I don't know, is it 5 years? Is it three? Is it 10 years?
I'd put it at 10. I mean, we know Elon Musk has been on this drive on their side. BYD in China has been doing their thing. It's been great. It's been...
For 10-year view, this is a steal. I just think it could be a steal for a lot longer.
Patience. Let's wrap up with some MTN. Why not, right? MTN gave us numbers. MTN's numbers looked interesting. And the Naira conversation was always a problem. It's been a problem for the longest time. Numbers came in and they did not look good. MTN's in a loss, headline loss. And yet the market decided, okay, we'll see those numbers and we'll respond to that by having your share price up 17% for the month.
Yeah, because here's what I don't understand. The Nigerian Naira and the Ghanaian Cedar, and then there's the
Ugandan
shilling. And let's stick with the Naira. It's the same across all three stories. Massively devalued over the last year, humongously devalued against the dollar and against the ZAR. It's not getting that back. It's not coming back to levels it was last year. Those levels are now gone. And if it is coming back to those levels, we're going to be a very much lot older. So if they manage to lose 256 cents per share in this particular period, and let's be clear, this was 6 months, so 5 Rand for the year. I'm just like betwixt. I mean, I appreciate, my senses, I suppose the short version is they've reset their Ghanaian, Nigerian and Ugandan earnings to a new low base. Mm-hmm. Because if you looked at Ghana and if you looked at Uganda, the businesses were doing great, absolutely great, until you bring it back.
Subscriber numbers are still growing. If you keep it in, if you keep it in that currency, it looks phenomenal.
But when you bring it home, it's not. And that bringing it home is not going to get better anytime soon. So, I mean, I don't know. I sold MTN many, many years ago, like 175, happy ever since. It's been insane the last couple of weeks. But I can't see how it is, how it gets back to sort of like previous earning levels in any hurry, because it's in a largely ex-growth utility market. Fintech is the big exciting component, and I get that. But fintech is also, I mean, you do a show. How many fintech pitches do you get a day of new fintech somewhere in the continent, et cetera? And they've got brand, and those brands are humongous. I mean, MTN, you know, one of the biggest brands in the continent. No dissing that. But I struggle to get excited about these stocks. Technically, it looks good from the chart perspective, but man.
I saw the share price dip all the way down to about 72 Rand. And at that point, I thought, surely, first of all, we can't go lower than 50 Rand because the pandemic was 50 Rand and we've survived that. But at 72 Rand, having come off of highs of just shy of 200 Rand, 72 Rand was a steal, right? So liked it at that price. I still like it now below 100 Rand. And I think the way the market is responding to it now is testament to, one, how strong the management and leadership team is within MTN to be able to map this out. And that's a big thing.
A big change from a decade ago, and kudos to them for getting that.
Yeah, but the second thing is what you spoke about brand, about footprint, about reach, about presence on the African continent. MTN has divested from markets like Afghanistan and other Middle Eastern markets and have focused their efforts on the African continent to say, we're going to be the number one telco on the continent kind of in our positioning and in our marketing. And you're seeing that guys like Vodacom are playing catch up with Egypt, whereas MTN, in locking down Nigeria, was able to effectively lock down such a big population. So even when we look at fintech and the servicing of fintech, Nigeria is a very big hub of fintech developments and fintech companies. Who's going to move all of that money for them? Who's going to facilitate them?
They're almost the rails.
That's it. So you're now moving into an enabling environment, an infrastructure environment. It's no longer just about data. It's no longer... Even if you don't enable the transactions themselves through the Momo platform, the data to process those transactions requires a SIM card. Where does that SIM card sit?
That's an MTN SIM card. That's a good story.
So it's still a good story. It's still a good play. I still happen to like the share. Would I like it at a better price? No, I've seen enough. I think the price, the momentum that it's got at the moment, it needs to break back above 100 Rand. Make a new support base at 100 Rand and move on from there. But we're liking it nonetheless. Those are the picks for this week. It's been Investor Insights. We'll update the wall. We will move things around if we think we need to move things around. But thank you for tuning in. Thanks for sticking with us throughout the episodes and for giving us your ear. Remember to follow us on all socials. We are on all social platforms under Insider Exchange. Like, subscribe, tell your friends to subscribe, and maybe we'll even run a competition. But until next time, investing isn't hard. Just try it. Thank you.